Марк Рычкевич, Киевпост.
Hello, this is Beatrice Duhamel and Doris Böhme from Landesbank Berlin.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Nick Piazza from SP Advisors. Happy to have you on the line today. Just a few technical things before we begin. So we don't get any background noise from your phones. You should press star 6 to mute your line. Moving forward, I'm here with Dmytro Sologub, acting deputy governor and member of the board, as well as the Monetary Policy Committee of the National Bank of Ukraine. Vitaly Vavrishuk, director of the Financial Stability Department and member of the Monetary Policy Committee of the National Board of Ukraine. Today we're going to be talking a bit about the National Bank's monetary policy for reforms and their impact on Ukraine's financial system, existing plans regarding changes to monetary policy, and plans that the National Bank has to support systematically important banks. So without further ado, I'd like to hand it over to Mr. Sologub and Mr. Vavrishuk. The format today will be kind of a 5-minute opening by
Okay, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, probably good morning to some of you. From sunny but chilly Kyiv, my name is Dmytro Sologub. Deputy Governor of the National Bank of Ukraine, in charge of monetary stability block, basically monetary policy formulation, financial stability, and economic analysis and statistics. I would keep my message short, just saying a few words in the beginning, and then we'll be open to your questions, as well as Mr. Vavrishuk, who is just next to me, who might ask you questions, answer your questions regarding financial stability issues and banking sector, and so on. I would first of all say that, we all know Ukraine is, as always, a difficult case, and this year we call it a perfect storm for Ukraine when you have a classical triple economic crisis, very much aggravated by the political situation, by the military conflict, and Ukraine weathering this perfect storm. There is a substantial determination on the side of the policymakers to do the best, and I would just say a few words regarding the National Bank efforts. What we are actually trying to do here, despite all the difficulties in the economic situation. First of all, I would say that on the latest economic developments, yes, there are some negative things which we can look at regarding macroeconomic growth figures or spikes in inflation. At the same time, recently we have seen some positive developments like improvement in the FX market. There is, let's say, some fragile stabilization of the FX market, which I think is important for the country. Basically, the spike in inflation we have seen recently in March was basically promoted by this extreme exchange rate instability, which actually caused the panic as a consumer staples market and food prices went up for those products which have nothing to do with imports in general. I think on the positive side as well that we have this program with IMF, which is really ambitious. Not in terms of money, I would say, the more money is better, but in terms of the reforms, which are there, and these reforms are going on already. Regarding banking sector, and maybe Vitaly will tell later about more in details about banking sector reforms, but yes, we are now in the process of major cleanup of the banking system, with 47 banks already signed receivership in February 2014. And we would continue the job. It's close to the completion, I would say, now. And we see the banking system, the light at the end of the tunnel. We have plans for stress testing, the banks for asset diagnostics. And again, I would leave it for more details maybe for Vitaly. In my area, I think there are also important steps which might not be so important at the moment when we face extreme pressure at the market. I think for sustainability of Ukraine's monetary policy and macro-financial stability in general, I think it's important all the changes we have seen, we have recently with establishment of Monetary Policy Committee, with publication of our analytical inflation report, and so on and so on. So basically, I would stop soon and ask for your question. Yes, we are still in very difficult condition and we expect economy to shrink by 7.5% this year and inflation would still be quite substantial, driven by this devaluation effect which we have already seen in the first quarter and also tariff adjustment, although that's an inevitable evil. Yeah, I mean, we all know the situation in Naftogaz Ukraine was last year one of main macro-financial risks in the country and this should be tackled. And yes, we should pay the price of higher inflation, but apart from that, first of all, the underlying inflation, the structural inflation in the economy is basically negative because of the economy in the recession second year in a row. And at the same time, we as a national bank are very much committed to reduce inflation to, let's say, sustainably low levels in the next 3-4 years and actually making inflation fighting inflation our main kind of practical mandate of the monetary policy. Yeah? What we have done recently, apart from administrative measures, we kind of resorted to the emergency hike of the interest rate. Yes, we know that's a temporary measure. It actually paid off, as we've seen the reduction in depreciation pressures in the FX markets. And we also understand that at some stage going forward, we should start to adjust our interest rates because, I mean, no country and no, let's say, banking sector can survive with a so high level of the interest rates and the same with the high level of inflation. So, yeah, there is, I would say, big challenges going forward. At the same time, we see some light at the end of the tunnel. And I would say, just finishing, that there are three main preconditions for sustainable improvements in the Ukrainian economy. External support because there is a financing gap in the country. Its second condition is sustainable reforms, comprehensive domestic reforms, and the third factor is alleviation of security risk. We have recently seen progress on all three accounts, and I am quite optimistic that going forward we still can do it, although we cannot control third factor, yeah, and it's still a big uncertainty, but at least in the first two factors we have seen already quite a lot of progress. Recently. Thanks. I think I would stop at this stage. So be ready to answer your questions. And then, yeah, and then Vitaly Vavrishuk also would say a few words now before we start the Q&A session.
Yeah, so let's open the floor up to Q&A a little bit. I know we have a bunch of people on the line. It looks like about 20 of you. So please just state your name and your company affiliation and we'll go forward with questions. Again, we know we have several of you on the line. If you'd like to go forward with questions now, please come ahead, step forward, state your name and your affiliation. Yeah. Why don't I get the ball rolling then with it?
Okay, so I would like to add add a few comments to what Dmitry already said, and I would like to give a few comments explain what is happening in the local banking sector and how the national bank in Ukraine is dealing with the major problems that Ukrainian banks are facing. So I have to say that NBU has a very, very detailed and a very constructive action plan of how to take the banking sector out of the crisis. We have a roadmap which is based on the IMF memorandum, and there are four major elements of this plan. The first major element is to encourage shareholders of commercial banks to inject equities into financial institutions. The NBU is going to have a diagnostic study of top 20 banks over the next couple of months, and based on those diagnostic studies and stress tests, the NBU and commercial banks will identify capital gaps. So those capital gaps will have to be closed according to a schedule developed by commercial banks in cooperation with the NBU, and we expect that commercial banks will be able to meet the minimum capital adequacy requirement of 10% by the end of 2017. So we don't expect immediate capital injections that fully offset loan losses at commercial banks. We acknowledge, we admit that this is going to be a very gradual and a lengthy process in Ukraine. So the second element of the plan is to enforce banks' management and shareholders to reduce exposure to related parties. And this is also this task is also a part of the IMF memorandum. Ukrainian banks will be given 3 years to reduce exposure to related parties and meet the NBU regulation on related lending of the limit of not more than 25% of the regulatory capital. The third element of the plan is to lift administrative restrictions that are currently in place. NBU is ready to revise its administrative measures that have been in place since last March, and we are discussing how we can lift, for example, restrictions on maximum withdrawal of hryvnia deposits. Now the limit of 150,000 hryvnia is in place, and we believe it's no longer needed, and we believe that in a couple of months we will be able to take a decision on that front. And the first element of the plan is to create right preconditions, improve macro environment so the banks start working in a normal interest rate environment. We admit that the current refinancing rate of 30%, the current policy rate of 30% is not sustainable and must be reduced quite soon. So we will be working to bring interest rates in the Ukrainian economy to reduce them and make deposit taking and lending by commercial banks like a normal sustainable business. So these are the key four elements of our plan, and as Dmitry said, we see the light at the end of the tunnel. We have done quite a lot of work so far, and we believe that since the fourth quarter of 2015, the banking sector of Ukraine will switch to a recovery mode. So we expect very gradual recovery of deposit base already by the end of this year. So thank you for your attention, and your questions are welcome.
We'd like to move back to Q&A then for either of our speakers, and I'd just like to remind you again to mute or unmute your line. Please press star 6. Come forward with a question, just state your name and company affiliation, and press star 6 to unmute your line.
Yes, I have a question. Can everybody hear me?
We can hear you.
Mark Richkevich, editor at Kyiv Post. We'd like to know, of the remaining banks left, I believe there's 147 as of April 1st, what percentage of those banks currently do not, what percentage of their, I'm having trouble getting through, what percentage have exposure beyond the 25% of charter capital with concerning related party lending?
Actually, NBU still has to identify which share of the loan portfolio was issued to related parties. IMF memorandum and NBU methodology say that banks will have to hire external auditors that will look into banks' balance sheets, and in cooperation with banks will identify all related parties. Then the list of all related parties will be submitted to the National Bank of Ukraine, and NBU will review this list and will make its comments. And it's going to be quite a lengthy process of 4 to 6 months. And once there is full clarity on the related parties, plans will be developed to reduce this exposure. So the IMF memorandum requires that banks start meeting these limits on exposure to related parties within the next 3 years. So it's not going to be a quick process.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thanks a lot for your question. Please don't forget to press star 6 to remute your line. Anyone that wants to ask a question, press star 6, come forward with your question in your company.
Yes, I have a question.
Go ahead.
Oh. Hi, Danilo Spolsky, EFM Global Advisors. You've spoken several times, and you said that you do see the light at the end of the tunnel for the banking sector. Can you just speak in a little bit more detail? What is the key barrier to a real sustained recovery of the banking sector?
There are two main barriers as we see the problem now. The first one is continued outflow of FX deposits from the banking sector. So we managed to stabilize the deposit base in hryvnia segment, but individuals and companies are still withdrawing their dollar and euro deposits. So it's one of the key problems that we are trying to address at this point of time. We believe that probably administrative restrictions did a good job maximum limits on daily withdrawal of FX deposits did a good job last year. But probably it's time to start lifting those restrictions just to return confidence to the banking sector. Actually, we believe that individuals just don't want to take new money to banks because they are not sure if they can get money in full at any point of time. So we are working in that direction, and as you may understand, all administrative measures, introduction and elimination of administrative measures should be discussed and coordinated with the IMF. So we are now in the discussion. And the second problem that I'm seeing right now is is lack of investor trust in the Ukrainian economy. As you understand, bank shareholders, European parent institutions of Ukrainian banks should contribute quite sizable amounts of capital into the Ukrainian subsidiaries, and they are hesitating. But we have seen quite a substantial progress over the past couple of months. A number of large European banking groups have already committed quite substantial investments into the Ukrainian subsidiaries, so we are confident that foreign direct investments into Ukrainian banking sector this year should exceed $1 billion, and those FDI will mainly come through conversion of debt into equity. So all loans, some of the loans that were previously provided by parent institutions to Ukrainian banks just be converted into equity.
Okay, thanks.
For your question, please feel free to press star 6 to mute your line. Anyone else who would like to come forward with a question for our speaker?
Yes, this is Robert Ashani from Atreides Today Business. Can you hear me?
We can hear you. Please go ahead with your question.
Okay. As a Dutch export credit agency, we insure credit risks in Ukraine. One of the things that we have read in the IMF report that there have been surrender requirements with respect to hard currencies earned by Ukrainian companies to the National Bank of Ukraine. There was some period in which 50% of hard currency earnings needed to be transferred back into Ukraine, but not only transferred back, but also exchanged for hryvnias. What do you expect, which surrender requirements will be applicable in the near future?
Well, I think it's part of general question about administrative restrictions, which has already been touched regarding the banking sector. I think we had already made it pretty clear in our official communications and so on that we do not see administrative restrictions as a sustainable solution to FX market troubles. At the same time, we are also pretty sure that the fundamental adjustment of exchange rate has already happened in Ukraine. And going forward, we will be much more eager to work with the market instruments, and we are ready to start to wipe out administrative restrictions as soon as situation is normalizing. As Vitaly said, we are thinking about that in the banking sector. The same is about this export restrictions, the surrender requirements, which requires now, I believe, it's 75% surrender requirements, so 75% of proceeds should be converted into the Ukrainian hryvnia. I cannot give you now really kind of specific details on the timeline of that, but I think that's what also is a part of IMF program, that the National Bank committed to start to wipe out these restrictions as soon as the situation is stabilized.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for your question. Please don't forget to press star 6 to mute your line. Going forward, do we have any more questions for our speakers? I know we have several of you on the line. Just want to give you one more chance because I know just from the emails I get every week, there's a lot of questions about the National Bank. But if no one wants to come forward right now, there's a question I'd like to ask.
Yeah, I had another question.
Oh, please go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, given the size of Ukraine's economy and and its level of development, what would be a healthy number of banks that should really operate on the market? I'm looking at, you know, some figures on Turkey and Poland and the number of the banks they have. I mean, and 147 still remain. Is there a better idea of how many banks really are needed for a healthy functioning banking system? Given Ukraine's rudimentary level of banking, it's really it's not even achieving a savings and loan aspect yet. Would you mind addressing that?
Thank you. I would start and then pass the button to Vitaly. I would say that's my favorite question, because there are also discussions in Ukraine, yeah, the target number of banks should have. And I always answer to that, let the market decide. Yeah? The National Bank is committed to clean up the Ukrainian banking system and really improve the supervisory framework. And if afterward, and also achieve macroeconomic stability. And with this macroeconomic stability and with best regulatory standards, then it's up to the investors to decide. If there are investors to open 200 banks in Ukraine, no problem. We can live with that. At the same time, I mean, we know, yeah, and you also mentioned example of our other countries, that we know probably that the optimal number of banks would be much lower. But yeah, I would not give any kind of targets. We don't have a target for the National Bank, how much banks would like to have at the market. But in general, as I said, yeah, we are committed to do our the best in the regulatory framework and macroeconomic stability. And so, Italy?
Yes, indeed, we don't have any quantitative targets with respect to the number of banks. The only thing we would like to achieve is to make sure that only viable banks remain in the market. And as we have already said, NBU has claimed over 45 banks as insolvent since the beginning. Unfortunately, we can't say that this process of the banking sector cleanup is over. So there might be more insolvency cases, but we would like to finish this cleanup process as soon as possible, because this is one of the preconditions recovery of for trust recovery in the banking sector.
Okay, thank you for that.
Thank you very much for your question. Moving forward, I want to just give someone else a chance to come forward. We just got 37 people on the line right now, so yeah. We know you're there. Please feel free to come forward.
Yes, I have a question.
Hi, this is
go ahead.
I think there are two people, so if one of you could go first.
Hi, this is Jared Liu from GMO.
Hi, Jared.
Sorry?
Jared, please go ahead with your question.
Hi, this is Jared Liu from GMO. When the finance minister approached international investors in a month or so ago in terms of their restructuring plans, she highlighted that a key part of debt sustainability was hryvnia sustainability. I was wondering if you had any thoughts on how important the stability of the hryvnia is for external debt sustainability, and also what tools the NBU has to try and support the hryvnia, given that the reserves are so low.
I would start off. I mean, I would say, talking about exchange rate, that's not definitely a straightforward story in every country, what's kind of a fundamental level of the exchange rate. And in our case, it might be even more difficult now to assess, because we have this looming uncertainty risk. Yeah? And a lot of analysts have been long arguing that Ukraine needs depreciation and that the level of 8 is not sustainable, and the country should have some fundamental adjustment of exchange rate in terms of 15-20%. And I believe that's what's right in that kind of territorial status of Ukraine. Yeah? But now, after Ukraine lost basically 25% of exports and 25% of industrial production in Donbass back in August last year, when the military conflict intensified, I mean, definitely this level, fundamental level of exchange rate has moved to some stage. Where it is now, I believe, I mean, what we have seen already with current account data, for example, last year, more continued this year, what we have seen in reduction in wages here, indicates that we are not so far from fundamental levels anymore. Yeah, and it's difficult to have a point estimate. Yeah, so I would like more think more about intervals. Yeah? So interval seems to be right at the moment, that the exchange rate is more or less fundamentally adjusted. At the same time, it's pretty clear the situation is still quite fluid and difficult with respect to first of all, the exchange rate expectation. And this expectation affected by Donbass, by general economic and political uncertainty and so on. And therefore, the National Bank had to resort to some administrative measures to calm down the market. Although going forward, and as I said already about external support, about reforms and so on, that all these measures would actually help to stabilize exchange rates in such kind of broad interval. Because, I mean, you probably all know the figures about financial support Ukraine has commitment from the foreign investors should bring FX reserves to the level nearly 3 months of imports by the end of this year. So from the point of view of debt sustainability, I would say, the current levels of the exchange rates, look probably okay. Although, again, we all know that the risk is still there. The risks are tilted to the downside, and mostly the risk is stemming from the third factor, which I have mentioned, which means security conflicts and the big impact that might have for domestic content.
Thank you very much for your question. Please don't forget to press star 6 to mute your line. Just want to keep the discussion going. We had a couple other people ask questions there. Would you like to come forward and give your question? Star 6 to mute or unmute your line.
Yes, hi. Danilo Spolsky here, EFM Global Advisors again. Regarding the IMF Extended Fund Facility, aside from, let's say, a significant deterioration of the security system in Ukraine and the kind of follow-on consequences, what are potential stumbling points for the for IMF Ukraine cooperation, and how likely do you think those potential problems are to arise?
Well, I would first of all say that the program is really ambitious. Yeah, I mean, you probably have looked through the memorandum and you have seen there are a lot of measures really to be implemented, which basically affecting all sectors of the economy, financial sector, fiscal sector, NAFTA, gas. There is also a strong structural component of the program and so on. So yes, the program is ambitious. So far we have seen quite good progress in terms of prior task implementation, for example. Of course, we all know that Ukraine is not kind of the best complier with IMF conditions. I think there was only one case of successful program back in 1995 or 1996. Although I believe this time could be different. Yeah, there are a lot of new faces, as we are with Vitaly in the National Bank, the same in the government, the Ministry of Finance, and so on and so on. So yes, it would not be easy because a lot of things are quite painful. A lot of things require parliament support and so on. But yeah, I mean, again, here is the light at the end of the tunnel.
Thank you for your question. Just want to keep moving. Do we have any more questions? It's star 6 again to unmute your
line.
Hello, do you hear me?
I can hear you. Please go ahead with your question.
Hi, this is Alina Fisarchuk from Morgan Stanley. Just a quick question. According to the extended funding facility, the banking recapitalization plan is assumed at just about 140 billion hryvnias, and though the final assessment of the banking of the banks is not ready yet, how do you think? Hello?
Yeah, please go ahead.
Yeah, so how do you think the final number will compare, and what would be the share split between, in what proportions it will be split between the government and the private foreigners? Thank you.
Ukrainian banks will have 3 years to fulfill the capitalization programs, and those programs will only be approved after stress tests. Stress tests are supposed to be completed by end of July for top largest banks and by end of September for next 10 banks. So we can't comment on the actual size of the capital gaps at Ukrainian banks at this point of time. We do have to have a very detailed analysis and study of commercial banks' balance sheets. And one important point that I would like to emphasize on is that it's going to be the first time that the National Bank of Ukraine will be doing stress tests of commercial banks. Previously, all these exercises were done by external auditors. So this time we'll have a lot of information and a lot of useful insights about balance sheets of commercial banks, and I believe that only after stress testing is done, we'll have a very comprehensive and full understanding of what is happening with commercial banks. In terms of equity injections, I believe that most of equity injections will come from foreign shareholders. As I already mentioned, the progress is quite impressive. NBU is negotiating with major foreign-owned banks, with shareholders from the EU and from Russia. And every single bank has already confirmed that they will be ready to raise capital, additional equity from their shareholders. So I believe foreign banks will be the key beneficiaries. Government is also ready to inject equity into three state-owned banks, but there are no some quantitative targets at this point of time. We believe that banks, that state banks will substantial capital injections at this point of time. But once again, once we have results of the stress test, we will have a better understanding of
Thank you.
Thank you very much for your question, Alina. Like to come forward with a question. Again, it's star 6 to mute and unmute your line. I'm going to give you kind of one last chance for the floor. Okay, just kind of closing things out today, there's a question I'd like to give, if I could take advantage of you two gentlemen today. More for our Ukrainian audience that's we work with a lot of corporates that are involved in import and export transactions, and we see a lot of complaints about current FX and kind of the de facto tax puts on their operations. What's the strategy going forward regarding FX regulations, and do you plan to lift it anytime soon?
Well, we have discussed this question already, I would say, to some extent. As I said, we know that administrative restriction is not a very fine-tuning instrument. That's basically a hammer, which kind of hits everyone. And we do acknowledge that there are normal businesses which are facing problems with import-export operations, but we also did see what happened in exchange rate markets, which went to a panic situation in late February, and how it was reflected in the inflation rate. So about future strategy, I would just reiterate what I have said before and what's written in IMF memorandum, is that going forward do see the room for gradual lifting of FX restrictions on FX market once we see that the situation in FX market is stabilizing, there is a more confidence in the system, let's say there is an improvement in economic indicators, and so on and so on.
Thanks for your answer. All right, I'm pretty close to wrapping things up, but I wanted to give you one last chance to come forward with a question. It's star 6 on your line. Is that a question?
Yeah. One quick question, please. Sorry. How many banks are there that the NBU considers to be strategically important? And if that's available on the website, I'll look for it. I haven't seen it yet. Like I imagine Privatbank and some of the state-owned banks, and maybe how many are considered the top tier banks?
NBU uses a set of criteria to define a certain bank as strategically important. Those criteria include bank share in total deposits, total loans, etc. And it's systemic importance to the banking as a whole. NBU identified six systemically important banks, but that does not guarantee that NBU and government are ready to support those banks at all costs. Delta Bank, which was claimed insolvent at the beginning of March this year, was also a systemically important bank, according to NBU regulation, but it didn't prevent it from being claimed insolvent, and now the bank remains in the receivership, and there are a number of ways on how we can decide on the fate of this bank, either to liquidate it or to find a strategic investor, or to recapitalize bank with government funds. So being a systemically important does not mean that bank is a viable bank, and NBU and government will be supporting at all costs.
So you don't believe that Privatbank is too big to fail?
We do believe that the concept too big to fail concept is an important concept, and apparently there are banks which are of huge importance for the Ukrainian economy, and every single case reviewed by the NBU and government. We just mean that we don't have like predetermined solution for every single case. Apparently, if we understand that insolvency of a certain bank will have drastic consequences for Ukrainian economy, we'll take proper steps to address this problem. And most likely, government and NBU will provide support to such banks.
Thanks for your question.
Thank you for that.
One more time to ask for questions before we wrap it up.
I have a question.
Please go ahead.
Hello?
Yes.
Hello?
Yes, please
hello?
Go ahead with your question.
Me?
Yes.
Oh, yes. Just a quick question on, as I understand, regarding banking sector stability, etc. We have Ukrexim Bank going into the negotiations with the creditors, and it's not clear how this will work out at this stage. There has been some ultimatum made, I think, by the Ukrexim and the creditors. So, I mean, in case that in a negative scenario where there is no quick agreement and to force further restructuring talks, Ukrexim has to default on the payment. I mean, what are the implications for the system and for the sovereign? As I understand, Ukrexim is an important agent for external payments for the country. So can you explain the situation around Ukrexim scope, possibility of a default, and what that means for the banking system?
Well, I would say first of all that Ukrexim is a commercial entity which is doing its own business. Yeah, it is under oversight of the National Bank as well as all other banks. There is the owner of the bank, which is the Ministry of Finance, and Ministry of Finance has issued a resolution, I think, on April 4th regarding Ukrexim and regarding restructuring procedures and so on. The National Bank published today a press release, so I address you to the NBU website on that, regarding Ukrexim, which is basically going in line with the government resolution that Ukrexim should make all necessary steps to ensure normal operations in the way of ongoing talks investors. Yes, we do monitor the situation pretty closely, liquidity and all other issues in the Ukrexim Bank. And I would say at the moment there is no any kind of specific concerns that this restructuring talks, restructuring have an impact on the bank operational.
But in the event of a situation where they do not make 750 payments, are there some legal procedures that will have to take place as a result that will hinder normal operations, which are vital for some of the sovereign external debt payments?
I'm not quite sure I got the beginning of your question. As I understand right about legal procedures and so on, at this stage, I mean, I have nothing to add to what I have said already. Yeah? That's regarding domestic operations of the UFO Correction Bank, which are supervised by the National Bank. Yeah? We so far do not see any issues, and I mean, this restructuring issue is kind of seems to be shielded so far with a kind of domestic operations of
All right. Unfortunately, I couldn't hear your answers very well because it's pretty bad reception in terms of hearing. But that's fine. That's fine.
Thanks for your question. Do we have any more questions? Unmute or mute your line. Okay. I'd like to thank you all for dialing in today. Do our speakers have any left? Okay, thank you all very much for dialing in. We will be issuing the replay of this call as well as some notes probably tomorrow. Please feel free to check with SP Advisors. Also, if you have any further follow-up questions for National Bank and our speakers, we would be happy to direct those National Bank, so please feel free to touch. Again, thanks very much and have a very good day.
Thank you.